Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. There's a special kind of interaction between generations that comes with passing through the biggest of life's moments. A high school graduation, for example, is a place where the youngest members of a family and the oldest members of a family can all unpack some wisdom and share some special insights. A wedding is like that too, if you let it be. The birth of a baby is like that too. And in this story, a life milestone, the passing away of a neighbor, becomes an opportunity for a young boy to get a little insight and a little experience and a little wisdom from his grandmother. The story is called Grandmother and Mrs. Fox, and I think you're going to love it. It's a personal story told by Donald Davis many decades after the story took place. Donald told it in front of our live audience in the Appleseed studio. Here's Donald.
My mother was born in a log house way, way back in the Smoky Mountains in North Carolina. Actually, it's on land that's now part of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. My grandmother was born in that same log house. My great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, the house was originally built starting about 1800, and it grew in little bits, but it was the same house I got to visit when I would go spend time with my grandmother. There was no running water. There was no electricity. There was a wonderful spring behind the house with cold, clear water where my grandmother would carry in the water, you know, for cooking and washing and everything we needed during the day. It was a fascinating place to be. My granddaddy also lived there. That's about all you need to know about him. He had 28 grandchildren, and all 28 of us had one of only two names, the boy or the girl, or that boy, or those two girls. But I would go in the summertime and spend whole weeks with my grandmother, and I loved doing that. I loved staying with her because the house was totally full of stories. Real stories that came from growing up in those mountains and the way people lived. It was like visiting a museum, like spending the week in a museum to get to go there. I was about 8 years old, and one time I was spending a whole week, and in the morning, she always got up way before anybody else did. She had to go carry in the water from the spring. She had to build the fire back up in the wood cook stove. Even in the summertime, had to build the fire up in the wood cook stove because that's the only way she had to cook. So I always slept later than she did in the morning, and my granddaddy slept even later than I did. He never got up till she called him to come and eat breakfast. Well, I was still asleep one of those mornings when all of a sudden I heard a loud knock on the door. And I heard my grandmother come toward the door. I did not come out of the bedroom where I was sleeping. I could only hear her side of the conversation because whoever knocked on the door stayed on the porch. They didn't come inside. So the first thing I heard her say was, "Well, hello, Robert. How's your mama?" Oh. When did she die? Last night. Well, she's been sick a long time. Sure, I'll be glad to. I'll be down there in about an hour. And then she closed the door. And she started walking back into the kitchen, and my granddaddy had heard the knock on the door. He was getting out of bed now and coming in the kitchen too. And so I thought, I'll follow them in there. That way I'll find out what's going on. Well, I got into the kitchen, and my granddaddy said, "Who was that, Zeffy?" And she says, "That was Robert, you know, from down the road. His mama, old Miss Fox, died last night." Granddad said, "Oh, she did. I know she's been ailing for a long time." My grandma says, "Yes, and he wants me to come down there and lay her out." And I thought, what does that mean? It sounded like fighting, you know, gonna lay her out. I knew my grandmother didn't fight with people, but she was a tough little woman. She could lay somebody out if she wanted to. And I thought, is she gonna go fight with Miss Fox, who's dead? And my granddaddy said, well, do you want me to keep the boy? And my grandmother said, no, I'm going to take Donald with me. He's old enough. And she went back and she got together something in a little sort of suitcase and got me by the hand, and we told my granddaddy goodbye, and we started to walk down to the Fox's house. Now, the old road had been replaced by a paved road. And the unpaved road still sort of joined the farms together. And so we walked on that old road down maybe a mile or a mile and a half, and we came to the Fox's house. It was a big frame house with a porch that went 3/4 of the way around the whole house. And then another half mile past their house, you came to the store, Ferguson's store, the little community grocery store. Well, we got there and we walked up on the porch and my grandmother knocked on the door and Robert came to the door. And my grandmother says, well, Robert, we're here. I brought my grandson with me. Why don't you and your wife go on down to the store and just hang around down there for maybe a long hour. And then you can come on back home. And then she said, Robert, do you have a couple of toe sacks? You know, toe sacks made out of the tow that comes from linen. And he said, well, sure I do, but what do you want them for? And she said, well, see, I brought my grandson with me, and you got that big old walnut tree down there in the yard. Big old walnut tree. W-A-L-N-U-T, walnut. And if it's okay with you, maybe he could pick up some walnuts while I'm inside. He said, oh, sure. And he brought out two sacks. And then he said to my grandmother, he said, now Silas Smart made the coffin and it's on the back porch. And then he and his wife left. I headed out to the walnut tree and she went inside. I started picking up walnuts and I did okay for about 10 minutes. And then I was hit by a horrible curiosity virus. I had to know what was going on in there. I had to know what laying out was. I had to know whether my grandmother was fighting with Miss Fox or not. So I went sneaking up on the porch of that house. I looked in the window. Oh, that was the kitchen. Nobody was in there. I came around to the front, looked in the window. That was kind of the living room. Nobody was in there. I came around to the other end. It was the south side where the sun was shining. And I looked in that window. That was a bedroom. And then I knew what was happening. I could see my grandmother's back standing beside a bed. And on this end of the bed, I could see bare feet that were white as a clean sheet of paper. On this end, I could see long, gray, white hair. And I could see my grandmother brushing out the hair and brushing out the hair and then beginning to braid it. And I could see my grandmother with a little container of water and a washcloth bathing. And I knew what laying out was. She was bathing and dressing and fixing the hair of old Mrs. Fox, preparing her in those days for her funeral. I also knew if I got caught, I'd be next in line. About that time, the clouds behind me moved and the sun made my shadow straight on the wall of that bedroom. And I took a dive off the porch and ran back down. You've never seen anybody pick up hornets as fast as I did. I picked up two whole sacks, all the way full to the top. Well, about that time, my grandmother came out the door and she walked down to where I was and she said, well, I guess you've been wondering what I was doing up there. No, I never thought about it. She said, well, before they get back from the store, come on inside and let me show you. You're old enough. And she got me by the hand, and we went up the front steps, and we went in the living room door. Now, I had seen her in the bedroom. Robert had told her that Silas Smart put the coffin on the back porch. My grandmother was a little woman, but she was tough. And as we went in the living room, there was the coffin now in the living room between two chairs. And as we walked up to it, there was Mrs. Fox, dressed in a beautiful blue dress, with her hair beautifully braided and curled around her hair with little combs holding it together, with her hands folded, waiting for her burial. We walked up, and my grandmother patted her on the hands, and there was nothing scary about it. It was just beautiful. And my grandmother said, she's been so sick for so long, she deserves to get to be dead. Well, about that time, Robert and his wife came back from the store. My grandmother said, you're back just in time. Come in and look and see what you think. And they came in and they looked. It was Robert's mother who had died. And they were very happy with the way she looked after my grandmother had all finished. Robert said, how much do I owe you, Miss Walker? Oh, not a thing, my grandmother said. It was an honor for me to be the one you asked. And besides that, we got two sacks of Warnets. You keep one if it's okay for us to take the other one home with us. And that was fine with him. And as we started home, I didn't wait for my grandmother to take my hand. I reached up and took hers. Because in that moment, I knew I'd learned that my grandmother was one of the most important people in the world. You see, people would come talk to my granddaddy if they needed advice about how to raise cows. That's what he did. People would come to talk to my daddy at the bank, that's where he worked, if they needed to talk about borrowing money. People would come talk to my mother, who taught second grade at school, if they were having trouble with children she had taught, even if those children were all the way up in high school now, because she knew how to handle them. But it's only my grandmother to whom people would come and talk when someone in their family had died, asking her to be the one to prepare them for their burial. And many, many years later, when my grandmother died and we went to see her in the funeral home, my wish was that there could have been someone for her like she was for old Mrs. Fox. A neighbor to make the coffin, someone to lay her out at home where she could spend the first night right in the house where she had lived almost all of her life. Because by then, she had had a hard, long life, and she deserved to get to be dead.
That was Donald Davis with his story, Grandmother and Mrs. Fox. Listening to this story reminds me of a time when my oldest son was just a little kid, 8 years old, and he developed kind of a mysterious illness that had him feeling lousy for months and months. It kept him from doing much, in fact, playing soccer or hiking or even much rambunctious hanging out with friends. Our family doctor worked hard to try to figure out what was wrong, and eventually my son bounced back. That's the happy ending to this story. But during those months when he was feeling so lousy, he often had just enough energy to shuffle along the sidewalk two houses down to Wayne and Janice's house. Wayne and Janice were two of the oldest members of one of the oldest families in our little town, and Wayne was getting so old he wouldn't have much time left with us. Wayne knew all the stories of our town, and of course the experience of his own long life made for a lot of stories. And Wayne and my son would sit on Wayne's porch, and my son would listen to those stories. Janice would bring them each a glass of lemonade, and they'd spend a whole afternoon out there on the porch, Wayne filling up my boy with those tales. Wayne isn't with us anymore. He passed away not long after my son got better. And now my son is the keeper of all that stuff, all the stuff he learned from Wayne in those afternoons on the porch. Happily, it doesn't require an illness to make some of that important sharing happen. If there's a front porch handy and a couple of glasses of lemonade and someone who has lived some life to talk to, do yourself a favor and spend an afternoon learning from each other. And that's where Donald's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? There's a lot coming up, but I want to take just a moment and tell you about another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. It's called The Lisa Show. Now, life can be stressful, but Lisa Valentine Clark, the host of The Lisa Show, along with her guests and her unique council of moms, provide a positive and empowering look at all kinds of challenges. They tackle them head on, sharing experiences, offering suggestions on how we can handle relationships and health and technology and body image and family, all kinds of stuff. And Lisa is a great person to hang out with. The Lisa Show, you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all kinds of ways to listen to The Lisa Show whenever you like. The Lisa Show from BYU Radio. We're so glad to have you with us today on The Appleseed. In an episode about interactions between generations, here's a funny story from West Virginia tall tale teller Bill Lepp, who tells us a story about an elder gone missing. Here's Bill Lepp with Silver Alert.
Thank you very much. I was coming home from my uncle's 70th birthday party, when I passed one of those signs on the road, you know, that give out information, the electronic information signs, digital, and it said Silver Alert, which is like an Amber Alert. An Amber Alert is when a child goes missing. A Silver Alert is when a senior citizen goes missing. It said Silver Alert, 88-year-old Caucasian male, last seen, and then I couldn't read the rest of it because I was driving too fast. Let me say that differently. I wasn't driving. I was driving the normal speed, but I read too slow to read the whole sign. So I thought, that's interesting. And then I looked in my rearview mirror, and far back, I saw the blue and red flashing lights of a police vehicle. And I thought, well, first of all, that's way back there. Second of all, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I don't have to worry about those flashing lights coming down the highway behind me. And then my phone blared. It didn't ding like a text. It blared like it was going to be a warning about a hurricane or a tornado. So I knew that it wasn't a text, so I did the responsible thing and I ignored it. And then the emergency warning system on my car radio went off. Yes, I still listen to the radio. And it said, Silver Alert, 88-year-old Caucasian male, last seen in a black Chevy Equinox, West Virginia license plate, JGL216. And my underbrain, the part of my brain that does things like keeps my heart beating and my lungs going and all of the facilities that I need to stay alive, my underbrain said to my upper brain is the portion of my brain that just kind of keeps my eyes on the road, going like this, which is 99% of the time, I'm in upper brain. So my underbrain said to my upper brain, hey, you drive a black Chevy Equinox with West Virginia license plate JGL212 or whatever I just said. And my upper brain said to my underbrain, how come you know that now, but you didn't know it last night when we were checking into a hotel? He said, because you needed the exercise. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and the flashing lights had closed about half the distance. And then my car rang, because you know your phone doesn't ring anymore, your whole car rings. And I pushed the go button, and it was my sister. And she said to me, "Have you seen Dad? His nursing home just called. He's missing from his nursing home." And I said to my sister, "How old is Dad?" Because she knows important stuff like that. And she said, "He's 88. And then finally, I put it all together. And I thought, my dad is an 88-year-old Caucasian male. And so I turned to him. And I said, "When I picked you up to go to Uncle Paul's birthday, did you sign out of the retirement home?" And he said, "Yes." "No, I don't know." And my underbrain said, "You're a kidnapper. And you've crossed state lines. Run for it." That's it.
Bill Lepp with Silver Alert. And while we're talking about old folks and young folks, we've got one last story we'd like to share with you on the show today. It's from Georgia storyteller Andy Offutt Irwin, who tells a lot of stories about his fictional great aunt Marguerite Van Camp. Aunt Marguerite, who went back to medical school in her 80s and opened a little hospital with her pals. Aunt Marguerite and the people who inhabit her world are a big part of Andy's stories, and he often tells them in Aunt Marguerite's voice. And this is one of those. Andy calls this story Ray's Inhaler, and it's about cures they don't teach you in medical school. Here's Andy.
My Aunt Marguerite is 85 years old and only recently graduated from medical school. That always solicits applause. Well, the way she explains it is like this. "My girlfriends and I, our husbands have passed on, and we were tired of the bridge club and the garden club, so we all went back to medical school. We serve two purposes in our community. We're hospice for people who won't admit it, often very conservative people, because the first time they ever heard the word hospice was from Bill Moyers on the PBS. So they think death and dying's a liberal issue. And we're the emergency room for the ashamed. For example, if you go to the big hospital, you know, the doctors and the nurses, of course, they'll keep your business secret, but the hospital auxiliary ladies, they'll tell you business. Y'all have pink ladies here, do y'all? Well, that's good. All right. So if you do that, I'll give you an example. Ray McFoland's got the asthma. Ray has the asthma, and he carries an albuterol inhaler in his pocket. And he had an episode one day. He was driving, and but he had a Sucrate lozenge in the barrel, and it got caught in his esophagus. And it wasn't going to dissolve because it was still in the wrapper. And he made his way to our hospital. You know, we have our hospital is an antebellum home. It's very old, but it was abandoned for 8 years. We got it cheap, and it has two magnolia trees on the side, so we only have to paint the front. And we have the carport portico there, you know, and that's our emergency lane. And when Mr. Cannon retired from his Pure Oil station, we bought his air hose bill. That was back in the days of service stations. Young people, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But in the old days, you'd go over the kang kang, and it would ring a bell. And so we heard kang kang. Oh, we have an emergency. Let's go see who it is. And we rushed out there, and Ray was he was in a bad way. I mean, he that was down, and you know, it was bad. Well, I went to Emory. Have y'all ever heard of Emory University? No, because we don't have a football team. That was, but But that's where it's a very important university with a teaching hospital. It's where that Irish girl invented that heart procedure. Her name's Angioplasty. That's a little joke I made up all by myself. Well, that's where I went to school. But my friend Mary Frances, she went to the Georgia College of Medicine in Augusta, and there's nothing wrong with that. But she practices holistic medicine, things you might not read in the physician's desk reference or the New England Journal. And she went into our little kitchen, and she pulled out a bottle of hot sauce. It's called Scorned Woman. It's her favorite by far. And she poured it in a little pill cup. You know, those little cups like when you get your ketchup at McDonald's. Except this is a medical supply, so it's $40. And she said, drink this down. And he was healed. And that's the end of that anecdote.
That was Andy Offutt Irwin with Ray's Inhaler. What are some ways in which you've been shaped by interactions with folks from other generations than your own? Any advice or wisdom or even good jokes that have been meaningful for you, worth remembering, things that have been passed down to you? And what will you share when people from other generations ask you for advice or wisdom or good jokes? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We sure appreciate your engagement with the Appleseed by listening to the stories and sharing your thoughts with us. One listener named Sylvia DaCosta left us a comment saying, "My teenage grandchildren and I listen to the Appleseed on our day trip car rides. We love it!" Exclamation point. Thank you so much, Sylvia. We're so glad to hear from you. And of course, we're just ecstatic that you enjoy these stories with your family. We'd also be ecstatic to hear from you. So feel free to message us or comment wherever you listen to the Appleseed, on YouTube, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. It helps people find the show as well. We want to thank Donald Davis, Bill Lepp, and Andy Offutt Irwin for sharing their stories with us. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, and Brian Tanner. Assistant producers include Garrett Gunnell, Kerry Griggs, Kay Hendrickson, and Nico Wetzel. And our post team is Trent Reimschussel and DJ Cromarty. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcasts, Kaboom for original audio adventures, and Wink, stories for better bedtimes. All our podcasts can be found on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on the BYU Radio app or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, leave us a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on the Appleseed.